everybody, what going on? My name is Cheyenne. I'm from Trinidad and Tobago. I'm the co-ring master at the Universe Soul Circus. And today we represented for KPOO San Francisco. Shimma, shimma. Shimma, shimma.
Shimma, shimma. Let me in. Shimma, shimma. I want to be closer to you. Shimma, shimma. Open up your soul. Shimma, shimma. Let me find that part of you. The part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your.
Touch your mind.
89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco and KPOO.com. I'm Harrison Chastain, sitting in for Marilyn Fowler on Let Me Touch Your Mind on a absolutely gorgeous, beautiful late October day in San Francisco. Marilyn is taking a well-deserved break, and she's traveling the capitals of Europe and other places, so hope she is enjoying herself, and we anxiously await her return. And what we're going to do on the show today, first part of the show, we're going to play some tunes about the October. October is about 10 more days left in October. So we're going to play a couple of tunes about October, and also going to play some spooky Halloween tunes. So Halloween's just around the corner as well. And at 12:20, we're going to be speaking with Nick Olivero, and he is with Speakeasy, and we're going to talk about a haunted house that they are putting together for Halloween. And 12:40, we're going to talk to Will Perinello, and he is the director of a new movie about the fight for water and how indigenous people are fighting corporate America to make sure that low-income people, poor people, have access to water, which is an essential part of life. So right now, let's check out some music from Nancy Wilson on KPOO San Francisco, KPOO.com. Let Me Touch Your Mind.
The snow begins to fly above the smoky roofs. I watch the planes go by, the children running home beneath a twilight sky. Oh, for the fun of them. When I was one of them, and when October goes, the same old dream appears, and you are in my arms to share the happy years. I turn my head. Oh,
I should be over it now, I know. It doesn't matter much how old I grow. I hate to see
welcome. Permit me to introduce myself. I am called Dracula. I am really the bebop vampire. I like the sun. I like the sun to shine. Drink. We must all drink. Everybody must drink. Today on the market we got instant blood for you to drink. I want you all to drink. Ah, that's it. That's good. That's good. Drink, drink, quench your thirst. quench your thirst. Good. Children, you over there, drink your soup before it clots. Put the children to bed. Children, drink your blood and bite your mama goodnight. Bite your mama goodnight. Put two more marks on your mama's jugular vein. Go away. Go away for the moment. Let me do my work. Go away. Go away. You know I must do my work. I must do my experiments. Go away. I will find a victim. Don't worry. I shall find a victim. Dracula will find a victim. Are you looking strange? You not a vampire? I am a vampire, not you. If you don't stay away, I will take your ukulele, and then you'll become a vampire. If you become a vampire, you will understand. Don't worry. Bela will return. Bela shall come back.
Master, those strange sounds. What are those strange sounds, Master?
Don't worry, Chuba. The children of the night make such beautiful music.
Thank you.
what are you doing here with the children again? Children, go in the belfry and play with the bats.
89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco and KPOO.com. And you're listening to Let Me Touch Your Mind. And that was Philly Joe Jones doing his imitation of Count Dracula. The name of the tune was Blues for Dracula. And before that, we heard Cab Calloway doing his version of St. James Infirmary. And we're playing this spooky Halloween music. That means Halloween is just around the corner. And San Francisco has had a reputation of being one of the better Halloween party cities in the country. I think it comes close to New Orleans as being the spookiest place in America. Going back to the big celebrations on Castro Street, the Exotic Erotic Ball, the Polk Street Fairs on Halloween, and other events that made San Francisco one of the places to be for Halloween. And over the past few years, Halloween in San Francisco has been toned down because of issues with Castro Street and the COVID. But in the last few years, San Francisco has been bringing the Halloween reputation back. And the speakeasy is part of that revival of Halloween in San Francisco. And they're going to be sponsoring some stuff happening right around Halloween. So we want to spend some time talking about what's going to be going on with the speakeasy at 644 Broadway in North Beach. And we have on the KPO Live Line Nick Olivero, who is with the speakeasy. And Nick, I'd like to welcome you, KPO. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good afternoon and happy Halloween. I got to say, I'm so excited that Castro Street Fair is coming back. I love that Halloween party when I used to go to it in my youth, and I'm very excited to come that it's coming back. And also very excited about, we actually have two Halloween experiences we're putting on with Boxcar Theater. So I'm excited to do two things this year. One is All Hallows Eve, which is part of the speakeasy. I say the speakeasy universe, like we're not nearly as big as Marvel, but we do have other speakeasy experiences, and All Hallows Eve, or our Halloween festivities, is one of them. And then the other thing we're doing, which we just opened last weekend, is a brand new haunted house attraction called Nightmare. And Nightmare SF just opened down the street from us in Pacific Heights, at a historic San Francisco mansion, which is called the Hoss Lilienthal House. So we have two things we're working on right now.
And a lot of folks like to put out the hype that, well, Halloween is just for kids. But my time living in San Francisco, people have gone to great lengths to enjoy Halloween. They really get into the costuming, and they get into celebrating and having a good time on Halloween. So could you talk about the adult aspect of Halloween and how you will be focusing on how adults can have fun around Halloween?
Yeah, well, I just think people in San Francisco like an excuse to get dressed up. So I just think we just like to, I mean, it doesn't matter what holiday it is. we're full of adults. We just like to wear costumes. So Burning Man, like you name it. But All Hallows Eve, I think a lot for the speakeasy, people like to get dressed up in the 1920s, and I've seen some really cool 1920s inspired. Like I've seen people come as Babe Ruth or, you know, silent film. Last year, we do a costume contest where we do like a costume parade, and it's all done in character. But people like to show off their costumes, and I think the person who won last year was Charlie Chaplin, and it was a spot on. She wore this amazing Charlie Chaplin outfit and got dressed up as that. So. But we do seances, we do tarot card readings, we've got magicians running around, and we have our casino going. We have a vaudeville show that has the MC as well as tap dancing skeletons, kind of a witchy chanteuse that does a thing, and then we do an aerial hoop act that's done to the Bald Mountain with the, she's like a bat, like a flying bat kind of concept. So we've taken a lot of the kind of things that you would see at a vaudeville show or, you know, kind of variety acts, and then put them into the 1920s version of Halloween. And it's very much for adults. I mean, we also have booze, but at our haunted house attraction, we've got blood IVs, which is a really good rum concoction. We have a flaming skull drink with Applejack whiskey that goes on fire. Adults love that. We do actually see kids. Kids have been coming through. I thought it was going to be more adult themed because it got a lot of blood and gore in the haunted house. And I you know, was a little bit more psychological terror. And I thought maybe kids would be a little too afraid of it, but there were some 12 and 14 and 15 year olds and they were loving it. They were scared, of course, but they were having a great time. So there is some youth going to that. The speakeasy event, All Hallows Eve, is not for kids. It's 21 and up. And we tend to see, you know, I'm in my 40s. It's generally people in their 40s and 50s hanging out, you know. It's kind of a little classier event, you know.
And once again, we're speaking with Nick Oliveira with the Speakeasy at 644 Broadway in San Francisco, and they are doing Halloween-related events October 31st, November 1st, and 2nd. And you mentioned the 20s, the Roaring 20s, as a theme. And we are in the 100th anniversary of the Roaring 20s, and I was talking to a friend who used to live in San Francisco who put together an exhibit of the Harlem Renaissance, which happened in the Roaring 20s. So could you talk about the influence of the Roaring 20s, how that changed society, and how that interacts with the stuff that you're doing with the speakeasy for Halloween?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how much has changed and how little has changed in the last 100 years. We like to think we're so different, but we were just as technologically focused 100 years ago. It was the radio, you know, maybe not virtual reality, but, you know, the conversation's changed, but people are still very much the same, still dealing with things like, you know, wars and disease. I mean, you know, we had the Spanish flu was 1918, so it's still very much around, you know, that kind of stuff. But I think what's really interesting, the 20s, two really big things came out in the 20s. One was kind of the love affair with like Egyptian culture, that, you know, the discovery of King Tut's tomb was, I think, 22 or 24, I think it was 24, Howard Carter discovered here, King Tut. And that was, of course, big. And so influence came over then. You got to think that it wasn't as connected as it is now, so you can't just turn on your telly and see it. You know, you're going to have to hear about it. The other one was spiritualism, and spiritualism was huge. Harry Houdini was actually a big debunker of seances and connecting with people. And, you know, we may not be as impressed with it now because we've seen, you know, so many Chris Angel and Derek Brown, you know, magic shows and stuff. We run our own magic show, too, called The Illusionist. But, you know, it still tickles people what kind of magic is going on. But, you know, these seances were basically magic shows. And a lot of people were, I don't know, more naive or more didn't quite understand the way that the tricks work. And you would see a lot of stuff. So we actually incorporate some of those old school magic tricks, which doesn't use technology. It uses more sleight of hand or just kind of smoke and mirrors, basically. But I think those things are pretty easily accessible, whether it's the people's fascination with spiritualism and contacting the other side. That was running wild in the 1920s.
And once again, we're speaking with Nick Oliveira with the Speakeasy, and they're going to be opening their doors for a creaky grand opening, and that's going to be happening 3 nights only, October 31st, Halloween, November 1st, and November 2nd. And I was at a memorial service and a high school reunion, 50th anniversary reunion, and at both events, they talked about the need to laugh and have a good time. And at the memorial, rather than having it at a funeral home, it was at a bar restaurant where the drinks were flowing and everybody was talking about how the gentleman who passed away was all about the party, and the same with the anniversary. So could you just talk about the importance of laughing, having a good time, getting scared in a good way, and how that relates with what you're going to be doing on Halloween and November 1st and 2nd at the Speakeasy at 644 Broadway?
Yeah, you know, that's a really great point. I think there's always troubles. There's always, you know, there's troubles waiting for you whenever you're looking for them. And I think we've always been looking for a little escape. The Roaring Twenties came out of a terrible war. You know, World War One was pretty awful, and it was really a way for people to escape. You look at tiki culture. I'm a huge, you know, I love going to Smuggler's Cove and Pagan Idol and all those places. Mm-hmm. And that came out of the 40s after World War II. We, you know, when you deal with something that's, when there's, whether you call it trauma or just some crazy events that are happening, you know, you got to let your mind relax and escape for a little bit. And, you know, I come from the traditional theater side where I want to, you know, I want people to feel this and experience that, and I want to touch your soul. I still want to do that, but I think as I've gotten older, I want to do it a different way. I think giving people a chance to escape for, whether it be a 2 hours, 3 hours, or 30 minutes, just to find something fun and different to do that, like I said, your trouble's always going to be waiting for you when you get home. So I think having that escape is great. There's a lot going on in the world, and you know we're downstairs. We're in a, you know, we're in an old basement that we've converted to this beautiful 1920s speakeasy, and you know we can be as loud as we want, and no one gets bothered by us. So we get to really kind of have a good time. We got live music. We have DJs playing music too, and it's a lot of laughing, a lot of sharing drinks, and just space. Space for people to socialize and kind of forget about those troubles for a bit. The same thing with our haunted house. I mean, you know, haunted houses are terrifying. It's scary, but you know, it's fun to be scared. It's fun to have that jump scare and hold on to someone next to you and say, "Oh, you got scared." So I think, you know, All Hallows Eve, the speakeasy All Hallows Eve, isn't a scary experience, where Nightmare SF is a scary experience, but it offers something a little different for everybody. So if you're looking for something that's kind of a little bit more refined, like an upscale party, that's All Hallows Eve. If you're looking for just some good old-fashioned, you know, horror and bonds, then Nightmare SF is the place for you. So I like doing both of them. I like everything.
And if our listeners want more information about these events happening Halloween, October 31st, November 1st and 2nd, where would they go to get that info?
Yeah, so for tickets for All Hallows Eve, that can be found at thespeakeasysf.com, and tickets are on sale now. For Nightmare just opened last weekend, and if you go to nightmaresf.com, you can buy tickets for that as well. And that's running. We just added dates because it's been selling out. So we now have we'll have more performances this Friday, and both events will run concurrently next week. So if you're really adventurous, you could go to the Haunted House and then go to All Hallows Eve, but I think that's probably a little too much in one night. But the speakeasysf.com or nightmaresf.com, or you can go to boxcartheater.org, which is my company, the producing company that produces both of these experiences, and boxcartheater.org will get you to both of those locations. So either way.
All right. Sounds like spooky fun. Looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
All righty. 89.5 FM, KPOO San Francisco, and KPOO.com. Once again, we're speaking with Nick Olivero, and he's with Speakeasy, talking about some spooky Halloween events happening on Halloween, October 31st, November 1st and 2nd. So you want to go to the website, the Speakeasy, for more information. KPOO San Francisco and KPOO.com. You're listening to Let Me Touch Your Mind. I'm Harrison Chastain, sitting in for Marilyn Fowler. And coming up in a few minutes, we're going to be talking about the Green Film Festival of San Francisco, which is going to show a new movie about water and how low-income people need access to water, and how indigenous people and poor people are fighting corporate America to make sure, or should I say the corporate world, to make sure that water is accessible. KPO San Francisco and KPOO.com. Lambert Hendrickson Ross talking about Halloween spooks.
But I can't find them for the life of me, and there's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
Downstairs just to check the lock. When I heard something in the house, I don't mean a mouse. I swear they was spooks, spooks, spooks. I know they was spooks, 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 spooks. I couldn't move, just stood and stare. I never was so scared. The first spook spoke and I heard him speak. He said, "What say, go make the back door squeak. We'll tease the cat and hound the pup and raise our spirits up." Oh, Lord of them spooks, 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 those scary old spooks, 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 spooks. You don't have to take my word, but I heard what I heard.
The next spook spoke, he said, "Suppose we make the faucet start to drip and make the shutter shake. You let me know just what you want.
This is my favorite haunt.
Beware of them spooks, 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 them mischievous spooks, 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 spooks. I hate spoofing, man, I mean that I've seen what I've seen."
A big spook spoke, he said, "Spike, my son." He said, "I'll show you how to scare up some fun. But next time when you wail, see here, you make it loud and clear. Watch out for them spooks, 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 or those nasty old spooks, 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 spooks. Maybe you don't think it's so, but I know what I know." The last spook turned to his spouse and frowned. Said, "I thought I told you to wait in the ground. But you look awful cute tonight. In fact, you look afraid."
He's talking about spooks, spooks, spooks. Real genuine spooks, 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 spooks.
No use to putting up your dukes. You just can't fight the them spooks. I'm cutting out of here, man. I don't dig this job, no.
Wait for us, wait for us, wait for us, wait for us.
89.5 FM KPO, San Francisco, KPOO.com. And you're listening to Let Me Touch Your Mind. I'm Harrison Chastain, sitting in for Marilyn Fowler. And I want to remind you that today's the last day to register to vote if you want a ballot in the mail sent to you before Election Day. And you can register several ways. You can go to your local Department of Elections in San Francisco. That would be at San Francisco City Hall. And you can register in person there. Or you can register online at the California Secretary of State website. And you can do a search for that online. Or you can get a voter registration application at any public facility, post office, city hall, blah, blah, blah. And send that in by midnight tonight, and you will get a ballot sent in the mail. If you don't make that deadline, you can register in person at any polling place in California or San Francisco. You can do that on Election Day, November 5th. So the deadline to get a ballot in the mail if you're not registered to vote is today. If you have moved, if you have changed your name, or if you have other different issues in your life where you've had a name or life change, you need to re-register. So the deadline is today. And something that's happening in San Francisco is the Green Film Festival of San Francisco, which is part of the San Francisco Indie Film Fest. And that will be happening between now and October 24th at the Four Star Theater, 2200 Clement Street in San Francisco. And films are also available to stream on demand at sfindie.com. The Green Film Festival features environmental films that include documentaries, adventure films, and narrative fiction films with environmental themes. One of the films at the Green Film Festival is the documentary Water for Life, which is a story about access to water, particularly for poor people living in rural areas who are fighting increasing efforts by corporations to control water access, distribution, and environmental issues involved with water rights. And with us on the KPOO Live Line is Will Perolino, and he is director of Water for Life. And Will, I'd like to welcome you to Let Me Touch Your Mind. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Harrison. Thanks for having us on, and thanks for your support of the Green Film Festival.
And could you expand what this film is all about?
Yeah, certainly. Water for Life explores the collision of water rights, indigenous beliefs, and resource extraction through the lives of three Latin American community leaders. The right to clean water has become a global issue, and sadly, in Latin America, it's often a matter of life and death because our three protagonists are going up against multinational corporations who mostly want the resources that include precious metal, timber, and or they want the land for large-scale industrial agriculture. And so when there's a lot of money at stake in a lot of these resources and people get in their way, life becomes cheap because there's a great deal of corruption. So that's kind of the essence of the story. I can tell you about our three protagonists if you're interested in hearing about that, or maybe you have another question.
Go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. In Honduras, Berta Cáceres is a Lenca indigenous leader. In El Salvador, Francisco Pineda is a subsistence farmer. And in Chile, Alberto Curumil is an indigenous Mapuche chief. And they all realized that when these large-scale industrial transnational corporation projects came in, they were going to take their water and redirect it to hydroelectric projects. And the hydroelectric projects are often used to power mining. Gold mining is one key, or large-scale industrial agricultural projects, like I mentioned. And so the places get deforested, and either rapidly growing trees like eucalyptus, which are used for paper products, are grown, or large-scale agriculture. And the large-scale agriculture that seems to be permeating a lot of the developing world is around soy. And so those are kind of the major issues. And, you know, the corporations come in and they overlook the rights of the people. And in all three of these countries, in El Salvador, Honduras, and in Chile, the people have the right to what's called free, prior, and informed consent. And this is a UN precedent that all of these countries' governments have signed on to. So let's say you and I want to go in and propose a project to the people there. You know, it's our obligation to go in and talk to the community, and not to just talk to one community, but to talk to every community in a region. So if we were talking about Northern California, San Francisco, we would say you have to talk to all of the counties of the San Francisco Bay Area and get everyone to understand what's going to happen. And then the people get to say yay or nay, yes or no, whether they want to have the project. And if the project goes forward, you know, the people participate if there are profits. Well, I mean, that kind of free, prior, and informed consent is overlooked. The environmental impact assessment studies that are done, that are part of what's required by the government, are often fudged. You know, they're not really done in a sound manner. They don't truly represent what the environmental impact of these industries will be. And in order to be able to do all this, how are these corporations doing it? There's a great deal of corruption. And so governmental officials are being paid off in order to get these permissions going. So, I mean, the individuals are ordinary people like you and I who were pushed to have to do extraordinary things to protect and defend their water, which is their way of life, because, you know, they're almost all subsistence farmers. They're all living off the land and off of the rivers, and without it, they have no life. And so it becomes, it can become life or death for these folks.
And it sounds like this film, with the struggles going on in this film, to a certain degree, reflects what Erin Brockovich did in her fight against PG&E, one of the world's largest utilities. And in her struggle, folks told her, no way you can beat PG&E, but she did. In the film Water for Life, are there similar struggles, or are there much, much higher hurdles that the people who are reflected in this film have to deal with in dealing with, as you mentioned, corruption, government, and corporate entities?
Yeah, well, I appreciate you making the analogy to Erin Brockovich, because I think these are Erin Brockovich-like stories, and I think that's something that helps an audience relate to what the stories are about. And so, you know, when I say they're ordinary people fighting against extraordinary odds, I mean, that's a slight understatement, right? I mean, I think they're all incredibly brave in going up against these multinational corporations, because it's much more dangerous in these countries than it would be in North America. I mean, you may be taken to court, you may be hazed by people who work for these corporations who don't want to see you stopping this work progressing in North America, but it's unlikely your life is going to be threatened. But, you know, as we've spoken to these three individuals in our film and talked with them about what we consider to be their bravery, they say, if someone came to your home and threatened your way of life and your ability literally to exist, you would stand up and fight. And I'll be honest, I'm not sure that I am that brave. I mean, I think of them as being incredibly brave, as Erin Brockovich was, right? Because, you know, you have people who are underestimated, and there's an assumption on the part of these corporations that they're either going to be able to buy them and their families and their communities off by paying them something. And of course, if they're offered something to give up their land or their resources, their water, what they're offered is well below what they should be offered. You know, I mean, they're getting ripped off. But as soon as there's any inclination that these people are going to fight against this sort of development, then the corporations start working in these insidious ways, and they try to find people in the community who maybe, you know, we all may have had at some point in time an argument with one of our neighbors, but in a place where $1,000 goes a long way, and you offer someone who might have a beef with you because you disagreed about something to work against you, it's a lot easier to find chinks in people's armor in order to, you know, go up against them. And then, of course, it becomes really substantial kind of a battle that these people have to fight when the government gets involved and the government's being corrupted and they come against you. But, you know, in all of these instances, for example, Alberto Curumil, he's an indigenous Mapuche chief in Chile. He went up against two hydroelectric projects. One was being put together by a Swiss corporation, another by a Spanish corporation. And he proved that the people did not receive free, prior, and informed consent, and that the environmental impact assessment, the study that was done, was in fact faulty. And he took them to court, and he won. So that's a victory. But he said, you know, I know that this might not be a lasting victory because there's so much money at stake, and they want those resources, and they're not happy that I lost. And so the government in Chile started creating a narrative whereby they were accusing him and other Mapuche of being violent, of being terrorists. And inevitably, he was accused of armed robbery of a savings and loan. And the accusation came through an anonymous phone call. There was absolutely no evidence linking him to this crime. And he was arrested along with two other Mapuche men. The judge early on in the early court proceedings said she hoped to put them away for 40 years. And this is someone who is innocent. He's guilty of no crime. He did not perpetuate this robbery. And he was incarcerated for 15 months, and he was very lucky that he got out of it. But he had a great legal team, and they were able to fight for him, and he got out. But that kind of intimidation runs deep. And, you know, you might think that when he was released from prison, because that not only took a toll on him, it took a toll on his family, right? I mean, they're farmers. So his wife both had to be working. She works. She's a teacher. And she teaches in the local public school. She teaches the indigenous language of the Mapuche people. And she also had to run the farm with their children. Their daughter, Belen, was 17 years old when Alberto was incarcerated. And Alberto told her, while I'm in prison, you're going to have to be my voice. You're going to have to speak for me. Mm-hmm. And so we watched her go from being 17 to being a mature young woman who stepped up. And whenever I watch the scene in the film where we see her going through that transition, I literally get tears in my eyes because I'm proud of her, but I'm also sad that, you know, she kind of lost her teenage years in order to do this. But what an amazing young woman. And in fact, Alberto received the Goldman Environmental Prize for his successful efforts to stop these hydroelectric projects. The Goldman Prize, if you're not familiar with it, is a San Francisco-based nonprofit organization that every year recognizes six grassroots environmental activists around the world who achieved a seemingly unachievable goal.
And Will, let me just jump in because we're running out of time, but I want you to let our listeners know where they can see the film Water for Life.
Thanks, man. So we're screening the film tonight at the Green Film Festival of San Francisco. It screens at 6 o'clock at the Four Star Theater, 2200 Clement Street. I'm going to be there, and Melina Silverstone, who's the board chair of an NGO called International Rivers. International Rivers is an organization that combats the adverse effects of dams on rivers in 60 countries, including South America, Thailand, Brazil, China, India, and the United States. So Melina is super knowledgeable about the issues raised in the film. And so after the screening, we're going to have a great conversation talking about the issues raised in the film.
And where
and if folks want to
go ahead.
I'm sorry. If folks want to get tickets, you can go to greenfest2024.eventive.org. That's greenfest2024.eventive.org. Eventive is E-V-E-N-T-I-V-E. That's the ticket source.
All righty. Wish we have more time. It's an amazing topic, and it's an issue that we all deal with in one way or another. Thank you very much for being with us this afternoon, and good luck with the film and the festival.
Thank you so much, Harrison. We really appreciate you having us on and helping get word out about the festival. So keep on the good work you're doing, man. Thanks.
Thank you very much. And once again, we're speaking with Will Perinillo, and he's director of the film Water for Life, which will be part of the Green Film Festival, which will be happening at the Four Star Theater, 2200 Clement Street in San Francisco. And you can get more information at sfindy.com. And about time for me to get on out of here. And want to thank you for listening. Want to thank my guest, Nick Olivero, who's with the Speakeasy Haunted House in San Francisco. You do a website speakeasy for more information about what they're going to be doing for Halloween. And also, once again, Will Perinillo, the director of Water for Life. Want to thank them both for being on the program this evening, and excuse me, this afternoon. And I'll be back next Monday sitting in for Mail and Fowler. I want to thank you for listening to Let Me Touch Your Mind on KPOO San Francisco and KPOO.com. Don't forget, register to vote if you haven't done so. Once again, I'm Harrison Chastain. Have a very good afternoon.
Yes, 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 boppers. Join me, KBZ for Sheezy, that Northern California hip-hop medicine man, for Rap Snacks Radio every Friday night from 6 to 10 p.m. for the best in classic hip-hop and source samples on buttery vinyl right here on KPOO 89.5 FM in San Francisco, Califas, the heart and soul of the sucker-free city, or streaming worldwide at KPOO.com.